We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or csicpa.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com.
All right, I have in my hands some results, ladies and gentlemen. So first, let me bring our judges up. Vinny Brand, Adam Geller, Jay Black, and Jessica Nutt. Grab that mic right here, guys.
Get like the Beatles, and I'll just go around.
Just give me a quick rundown. Vinny, what do you think? How did the judging go?
The judging was fair. I think some of the
judges... Were you fair? I think that's the question.
I was incredibly fair. I think some of the judges were afraid to say... things that, you know, you have to listen when
you're
judging,
pointing at Jessica.
Vinny is saying Jessica, that he was brutally honest and didn't hold any
right
anything back.
I'm gonna say the scoring was relatively close,
right?
Really was, really? It was close, yeah. I know. I was some judges were tougher than others.
Yeah,
just
well,
just throwing that out there, right?
I can see what you're saying.
Adam, what do you think?
Well, I thought the judging. It's funny afterwards when we were talking. I think that there was a lot of agreement.
Yeah.
On a lot of the sort of big picture stuff, I think the judging went very, very well. I think, you know, Vinny is a guy who is used to judging people. He sits in judgment. He casts judgment all the time. Jay was bringing down the room just a little, not that much, not as much as
Jay.
Normal.
Were you a little down today? Is that it? Just having like carb overload?
Just in general, I bring down any event.
Well, I mean,
and I'll say that Vinny was very Simon Cowell esque. Simon Cowell.
I believe that. Wow. Jessica, did the gentlemen all behave?
Other than the fact that the podcast, of course, turned into Jay's therapy session.
Did it again?
Yeah.
What was wrong?
Said that if you want to make this like my mom used to make, you should cry into it about dad leaving. I'm just saying, if you're going to do it the correct way.
There's always a sad story around Mac and Cheese Day. It happens every year.
Very happy at Mac and Cheese Day.
You're happy.
I love mac and cheese. A day to be off my diet. I'm very disappointed no one made a kale mac and cheese. But
I just want to say one other thing. Just in terms of behavior, Jessica, very, very kind to say everybody did behave. For the most part, they did. The conversation did veer a little bit into alternative lifestyles. Jessica was able to steer it back with relative
Thank you,
ease.
Jessica, for being but the mature one in the room.
It was part of the, you know, I'm not going to lie. It was definitely a part of the conversation.
All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
Now, we had six entrants into Mac and Cheese Day 2018. I'm going to go third place, second place, first place. Are we ready, Bob, on the drum roll? Let's do a drum roll for third place. Our third place winner with a score of 97.5, Jen Ursillo. Oh. Congratulations, Jen.
Congratulations.
Now, Jen, I know, is going to be upset because she wanted to score extra points for the presentation outside, and she thinks I was a little unclear on the rules, so we're going to put a little asterisk there. Objection noted. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Our second place winner. Second place winner with a score of 104.5 points, Eric Scott. Eric with the bourbon mac and cheese. Eric had a feeling, a little disappointed not getting number one, I know.
No, I blame Amanda in last round.
I think it, go ahead.
I'm not saying that I disagree with the judging. I'm just saying there's probably not a God. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to say.
Eric is at, there's a, no, we have a second place asterisk because he's going to blame you, Vinny. Yeah. There is no doubt about that. All right, are we ready? Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
I just need to say, Vinny was the strongest proponent of Eric Scott in the room. So I think the two of them, animosity aside, there's a little smoldering love affair.
Is that it? There's a little bromance going on? Is that it? Protest too much?
I'm disappointed in Adam.
All right, this is...
Oh, I was a proponent. Trust me.
All right, see,
I'm curious to see who the winner is because I'm a little surprised.
I'm a little surprised.
Right? You guys are...
Well, I'm
going to
tell you what I think. And by the way,
Don't guess, Vinny.
Vinny,
it's like giving the punchline away before I tell the joke. What the heck, Vinny? You're a professional at this. All right, are we ready? The winner of the first annual Mac and Cheese Day here at New Jersey 101.5 with a combined score of 114 points, Eddie Donnelly and the Firefighters. Chief Steve, Eddie, come on in. Eddie and Steve. Big deal. Big deal. So, Vinny, you're not surprised, right? You're not surprised?
Oh, okay, I'm not. It was a very good mac and cheese. All right, it was very good. I think that Jay is afraid that one day his house is going to burn down, and Eddie's going to call and say, don't put that thing out. Let it burn, baby.
All right, Eddie, how do you feel?
I feel awesome, Bill.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, this is great.
And, this is a special day for you. Dad called.
My father called in. This is good stuff. Good stuff. Jay, we would never do that to you, bro. But thanks for voting for us.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, I just want to say that I loved your mac and cheese. We had some debate over whether it was mac and cheese. Because it was more seafood than mac and cheese.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. You did a great job.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
All right. And there's no fixing on these votes. I mean, I'm just happy it's natural.
With that. You know, what do you think? I beat Jen again, which was
that was really your goal.
That was your only goal.
Sorry,
and Bob
Jen.
Didn't place, so that was a good thing. And
Bob.
And I even said, what did I tell you? I thought the best one was.
You did?
Yeah.
You called it. Yeah,
yeah,
Eddie, you
I
were,
told you. I thought that was the best.
You were a favorite among the various chefs.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we agreed on, and this is no BS, this is true, all of the macaroni and cheeses were great. I mean, this is which one was the best out of all of them that were phenomenal. There was no dish that people just really just didn't like or didn't care for or anything like that. So just kudos to everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to thank you. Hey, Laura, I did not finish this whole crock because you gave me a whole serving. So it's like I've got an entire meal over here. But hey, Laura, yours was delicious, very buttery. So I think everyone had something. No two were that similar. But Eddie, congratulations. Steve, congratulations.
Thank you.
Guys feel good?
Oh,
is this how firefighters are eating every night?
Not every night. But we kicked it up a notch last night.
Yeah, you did.
We made it at the firehouse. Yeah,
thank you.
Listen, I want to say my captain been cooking for me for 18 years since I've been in the firehouse, Steve Spur. He was really the brains behind
this.
Put it all together.
For your next recipe, the official trophy
I love it.
Of Mac and Cheese Day 2018, a box of macaroni that we picked up for 79 cents.
Awesome.
Nice.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you. We'll put that on our show.
All right, that's it. Okay.
Okay, this is Speaking Millennial Podcast, and Bill Spady is actually on the radio right now, and Jay Black is as well, plugging a show, but I have two very special guests that could not wait because you guys got some jobs to do today, obviously.
We do.
But we had a very special morning. Hey, Vinny. What's up?
Hello. Can I come in?
Yes. I was just saying how everyone's got their like jobs that they've got to run off to today, and these guys need to tell us how they won the Mac and Cheese Day.
Yeah, and I want to say something, okay, because there was a general, you blew the contest out.
Blew it out.
You won big.
Nice.
And I loved your mac and cheese. I had you as the number two mac and cheese by 0.5.
Seriously?
Only because.
What?
Only because. And this is a compliment, because the dish, in my opinion, went into, mac and cheese is a side, and your dish went into a meal category for me, and I loved it.
So we outdid ourselves.
Nice, yeah.
I love Cajun food.
Yeah.
So there was a lot going on in that mac and cheese.
Hi,
and
Jay.
I will.
Let me just hop in. Hi, I'm sorry. I didn't know are we starting? Is this a test run before?
No, we're starting because.
Really, without me?
Yeah.
That's very upsetting.
Let's just go back off the mat.
Let's scrap everything we've done. Let's start over with me. I feel like the fans
now
demand
that
it.
Jay is here and Adam Geller and Vinny Brand is here. We are Speaking Millennial Podcast, and we are now starting over again.
That's right.
And
look,
we have the Mac and Cheese Day.
I'll be digitally reinserted in the beginning of the podcast.
All right.
A la Jar Jar, I believe.
Right? So anyway, I think that you went into meal category, which is a compliment, but it was meal category, but it was very good. I would add that mac and cheese to the buffet at the Stress Factory, because people would say, I'll do that as a meal.
Yes.
And I would add Eric's as well.
Yes.
Those two were the clear winners, in my opinion.
I mean, there's two ways to go about it. And when we were talking about what we were going to do, that's what I said. Yeah, this is comfort food.
Right.
You know, it's got to be warm. It's got to be good. You know, it's got to be either two things, like you said, either a side dish or a meal.
Yeah.
Look at the size of me.
Yeah, you went meal.
I got to go meal.
Everything's a meal.
Right, any words to the other contestants?
There was no bad food here today. Everything was delicious.
You can be honest.
Can we just do one thing?
The horseradish cheese.
Absolutely.
Big fan.
Eric's
big
bourbon,
fan.
Bourbon yeah. Mac.
Anything
solid.
With bourbon.
Let
solid.
Me just say one thing to both of you. You both seem like very nice guys, and you put out fires for a living, and I have a lot of respect for that. All right. All the mac and cheeses were acceptable, but we have to get away from this country of everyone getting a participation trophy. Sometimes you come in last, and one of them did. I'm not gonna tell you
and
which
you
one.
You don't agree. You like Eric Scott's better?
Pardon?
You like Eric Scott's mac and cheese better?
Did I like Eric Scott's better?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Eric Scott's mac and cheese was better.
Was that because of the booze?
Huh?
Was that because of the booze?
No, Eric, well, I'm not a bourbon guy, but I did like that bourbon. I like that
nice
smoky
taste.
Flavor. Mm-hmm. I thought his cheese was unique. I knew I'm not having a pedestrian mac and cheese. Yours is not pedestrian either. Like I say, I just think that in a mac and cheese contest, first of all, only two presentations mattered. You and Eric Scott put a presentation together. The rest of it was, it looked like my 14-year-old scooped some mac and cheese onto a plate. You guys made cupcakes, for God's sake.
Wow. Right? We made cupcakes.
Who knew we had gay firemen? Anyway, the point is, you did a presentation, right? And so I liked that. Like I said, I always said, Jess thought I was going to trip up and not tell you that you were number two. I absolutely will. I'm not afraid.
Okay,
if you judge, you have to judge.
We're okay with that. And listen, we're just going to say, I get what you're saying, where somebody has to lose.
Yeah.
But I will say that every one of those were very good mac
they
and
were.
Cheeses. Not better than ours.
Right.
But they were
have
good.
You ever been to my club?
No.
All right. Where do you live?
In Cranford.
Cranford. And you?
Cranford.
All right. First of all, you two are far too close to each other. You cook together. You live together. You put fires out together.
They didn't say
that. Why don't you guys come
together.
To the club this weekend? I'm performing. I'm headlining.
Okay.
I would like to treat you two to the show because, A, I cops and firemen. And nurses are my three awesome. Favorite professions.
Inviting you to the show 2 weeks ago tonight.
Yes, 2 weeks ago tonight. I'm inviting you to the show 2 weeks ago tonight because...
2 weeks ago tonight.
Cops, firemen, and nurses, that's
airs.
Who you need when the shit hits the fan. You always need one of the three. Doctors are fine, but nurses keep you
nurses,
alive.
Nurses are
and
definitely.
Firemen pull you out of the fire, and cops, of course, do their job.
Yep.
So would you go to the show this weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Real fast. This is something we talked about on the show before, and I just need to ask. You guys get lumped in with other first responders, and it just strikes me as unfair because, like, you know, EMT guys, important job, but they're sitting out with a tackle box where you're running into the burning building. be honest, you kind of get annoyed that they're also called first responders. Shouldn't they be called like second responders? And you're the real, or you're like real first responders.
First and a half.
Or yeah, or like 0.1 responder. Like you're the big time first responders. Those guys, be clear, you get annoyed. They just sit with a tackle box waiting outside where you're doing the dangerous stuff.
I do not. We end up passing off everything we have to them.
Yeah.
So after the first response, Jay. Next response second.
Jay, we all work together, my man. We all work together. Cops, firefighters, EMTs, the nurses when we get them to a hospital.
There's nothing.
It's
no
one
other job like this. Is a team.
I'm just saying, Jay, get your cholesterol.
I'm not going there.
Get your cholesterol under control, because I guarantee the EMT that comes to you is going to be like, yeah, defibrillator broke. Why don't you call a fireman?
I'll be sitting there as I choke out going, second responder. You're a second responder.
Listen, and by the way, EMTs, come on. I mean, seriously, today, I'm coming down here. The guy broke down in the middle of the parkway, okay? Dangerous work if you're an EMT on the side of that parkway. I've seen EMTs reach into a burning building, a burning car, rather, when they get there and they got to yank someone out.
Be clear. I'm not mocking EMTs. I don't think they do a bad job. They do a great job. I'm just saying that one guy's running into a building and the other guy's smoking a cigarette outside waiting for them to come out.
You got to look at it as a chain, and every one of us are a link to that chain. Yeah. And they're in there.
And some links are bigger and more important than others.
Jay, even the guy that set the fire had a part in this. I went too far. I went too far.
I guess he's really the first responder. I mean, he was there first.
So let me ask you, you're a fireman. You're both firemen, right? So you're the captain?
No, he's the captain.
All right. So you have to make judgment calls all day long in terms of who getting promoted and whatnot.
No. A captain is a line position. I'm in charge of an engine company. So it's me and my three firefighters
on
an engine company. So I'm responsible for a fire station and for that engine company.
And you guys sleep at the firehouse?
We try sometimes.
Okay. Is there always someone at the firehouse? You're professional force.
Yeah, we're career firefighters.
Yeah, you're professional force. And so someone's at the house all the time, right?
20, unless we're out. But yeah.
Amazing.
If you can't see what's going on here, Vinny is trying to angle for an invitation to sleep at the firehouse. Okay?
I want to slide down the pole. Is there a pole? That was my next question.
In our firehouse, no, but there are a lot left.
I want to slide down a fire pole someday.
We'll get that done.
I want to slide down a pole, not the way Jess did, but I want to slide down.
I knew this was going to come back to me. I was like, looking at Jay, Jay, save me. Someone needs to.
I was going to say, I want to pet a Dalmatian. Do you have Dalmatians still?
No.
What are you doing? Come on.
Some firehouses have dogs. I got to find you a Dalmatian.
We have a firehouse cat or something.
We don't have any animals.
Do you guys?
We'll find a squirrel.
Are you constantly in training? Is there new fire technologies all the time, right?
Every day.
Every day, right? So there's a new strategy of putting out a fire. How you put out the fire?
Well, this is the serious part of the job. You know, 30 years ago, your house caught on fire. It was wood,
right?
It was wood burning. It's not wood anymore.
Right.
You know, it was burning 1,200 degrees. You know, at the most now, fires are burning 1,800, 3,000 degrees because of all the plastic
and more toxic fumes.
More toxic, which is a big challenge we're facing now. Is firefighters dealing with cancer and other related illnesses.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, toxic fumes, 3,000 degrees. It sounds like Vinny's macaroni and cheese dish. If I may.
Well, I have a lot of respect. I hope you guys take me up and come to the show. I would love that.
Yeah,
you're married, right?
I am.
And you're married?
I'm married, yes.
I would love to treat you and your wife to the show tonight or tomorrow. And you'll see Spady if you come tonight.
So tomorrow would be the ideal time to come. Throwing that out there.
I was hoping he'd pick me up.
Look at Jay taking a shot that Bill won't listen to the whole podcast.
There is a 100% chance that he won't know when this podcast drops, let alone listen to the podcast.
Because we don't know when it will drop. Yeah.
All right. So last question, because I'm like the fire. I you can tell I have
a little bit
of
a buff. I can see that.
You're the guy.
I can tell you this without, and I'm not kissing up. I'm a very honest, straightforward guy. There's a little bit of me that feels like in our country, we always glorify the wrong professions, right? So, you know, listen, it's all well and good that Tom Brady's an awesome quarterback, but at the end of the day, he's a quarterback. And I'm not suggesting you guys should have a Nike contract, but we should be telling our children and people a little bit more about what you guys do. So here's my question for you. How many men respond, or women, respond
to a fire when the call first goes out? Is that determined by how big the fire is? You get to know that going in?
It depends on the type of fire it is. A car fire, we usually get an engine and a ladder truck because there's different duties assigned. Structure fires, you know, you're talking 3 engines minimum, you know, 1 ladder truck, a rescue.
3 engines is 12 guys?
Yeah, well, you want minimum 18 guys on a fire ground. But it's not just men. It's equipment, too. You know, every engine has, you know, their job assignment, the first 2 engine to put out the fire. There's only 750 gallons of water on an engine, so the second engine will be water supply, getting them tapped into a hydrant, bringing in a second line. The ladder companies are venting the building of the smoke and the toxic fumes, doing search and rescue along with rescue companies. Right. It's not just running in blind.
Well, I was going to say, there's a guy making all those calls, right? In other words, there's a guy going, okay, this is where we're going in.
Incident commander, battalion chief, or deputy chief.
Just, Vinny, if I could jump in here, just to defend Tom Brady. Guys, if Tom Brady were to throw a football really fast next to a fire, it would go out, right? I mean, so he could potentially fight a fire scientifically. I'm just trying to...
Are you beating up on Tom Brady? Who's beating up on Tom Brady?
Vinny!
Vinny, what's the matter with you?
Can I tell you something, Bill? Jay has single-handedly pissed off every paramedic in the country.
I'm not surprised.
Bill, I want you to know, you should separate yourself, because if you were ever in a situation where you need a defibrillator, there's a strong possibility the guy's going to go, hey, tell me about Jay before I do this. Listen, he dissed on these people.
I'm just saying.
And he already said he will fight a fire at Jay's house.
I'm just saying some responders are firster than others. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I didn't have the heart to tell him I'm also a paramedic.
I love it!
Can I just ask a question here? I thought we were talking about crawfish mac and cheese.
Right. Yeah, we left same that.
Thing. Did we leave it? Yeah, we left that. All right. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Mac and cheese day was huge. I don't know when this episode is going to drop.
We just talked about that too, Bill.
What's that?
We talked about that.
Yeah.
I may have made a joke about you, Bill, and then Vinny was like, you're counting on Bill not to listen to this. And I was like, you know what? That's a fair bet. Yeah. I think I'm going to win that one.
All right.
So wait, what did we decide?
What do you mean?
Yeah, when will it drop?
Are we going to decide that right now?
I think we decide right now in committee. Does this happen as a part of the mac and cheese behind the scenes? I feel like I should defer to the guy in the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, no, I think logically you've got to drop this really in concurrence with the behind the scenes.
So this is going to count as one. We're going to have like a two-part episode.
Even if we do this as one when we record tomorrow, we're solid through April. So I think that we're okay to drop this as one and just give people the whole show.
See, Vinny, we assume the listeners want to know how it is all put together. They like to know how the sausage is made.
I think that that's a fair assumption. And I think that I've done, if I have to say so myself, a remarkable job eliciting emotions out of the firemen, because they're dead wood to work with. They're just not fun guys.
dead, dry wood next to a pile of oily rags. That's what they are.
Go back to sausage. Are we having a sausage day? Is that what's happening?
We should do that. We should do, yeah.
What's that?
Well, we've done mac and cheese. We've done meatloaf. We should do something with sausage. Yeah, yeah.
No, how can you not
do
say
that correctly?
Sausage.
How can you not do hamburger day? Hamburgers are its own thing too. Hamburgers are really? So.
Because imagine sharing like a what are we going to each take a bite and pass it around?
Yes.
That does not match.
Good point.
That does not work logistically. We just want a scoop of mac and cheese. No, I don't like sausage.
Why don't you do a dessert day? How come you haven't done a dessert day?
Cheesecake day.
Is anyone surprised that Eric Scott did not win?
Do you say cheesecake day?
Cheesecake day.
Oh, I'm in.
Are you surprised that Eric Scott did not win?
I am surprised. I am surprised that Eric Scott did not win. Guys, I loved your mac and cheese. Don't get me wrong. But if you're asking an honest question, I'm giving you an honest answer. I thought Eric Scott was going to win.
Yeah. You did the other one.
I argued, listen, the Eric Scott thing, his cheese choice did not sit with me as well as it sat with everybody else. I feel like I was the one who sort of upped the fire people and downed Eric Scott. Not that I disliked Eric Scott's, it's just the cheese was a little sharp for me. I like dull cheese.
We said sorry to all the sore losers out there.
Did you?
Yeah. Ooh.
Let me ask this. Do you think it was the dull cheese or was it the booze? Because like they were mocking me in there saying, how do you give a guy that was pretty much a booze hound, who's now off of all the sauce...
Oh, hey, me?
So you.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. Oh, believe
You're
me.
You're the resident former alcoholic, Jay.
But believe me, I was licking the bowl trying to get that last
Are you
cup.
Jay could be
right. I'm alcohol-free 100%.
Doesn't do anything.
My antidepressant is like at a level, when my doctor gave it to me, he was like, don't drink with this. And I was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, no, don't drink. This is kill a horse level antidepressant. So I can't touch anything anymore. So it's ironic that my antidepressant is the thing that makes me saddest.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's, and I'm even saddened by the fact that you're on antidepressants.
Oh, I'm on so much antidepressants, you sit next to me, you get happier. Sweat antidepressant out of my skin.
You know what? I'm freaking ecstatic right now. Steve, thank you very much, guys. Thank congratulations. Outstanding win.
You guys want to come through? Tomorrow night. All right, so listen. Tomorrow? Take my phone number down. Yeah. Is that my phone or yours?
All right, so as we wrap up this podcast, Vinny is giving out tickets. I think, Adam and Jay, we could have enough here for one episode.
I think we meld it together. We Frankenstein this thing. Piece it together. We have this episode. We have our three that we recorded the other day. And we have the one we're recording tomorrow. That's five episodes. We're clear through till April.
Yeah, I think you definitely have enough for this. But I also think that something gets lost in the translation if you drop these completely separate dates. I think they're compendiums.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Nice work.
Thanks, guys.
I live in Marlton, so if there's any fires down there, I expect fully that you guys will call the Marlton Fire Department and tell them to take care of me.
And the paramedics.
Forget that. This baby wimp.
I just want to say one thing. If Geller and I's car go up in flames at the station, we know what happened.
I think more than...
Geller, you were anti-fire department?
Nice station you got here.
Yeah.
Be a shame if something happened to it.
Oh, no.
I was going to say...
I thought that... Listen, I thought the fire department guy's mac and cheese was very, very good. I do think, for me personally, the crawfish was a little much. Yep. If we're being honest, I got to tell you, and I said this during the judging, I liked Eric's for a fancy mac and cheese, and I like Jen Ursula's for a basic down-home mac and cheese.
I told Eric I thought it was a little boozy.
A little what?
Boozy. I had a lot of whiskey.
I didn't get a lot of whiskey.
Really?
No.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was too boozy.
And I'm not a bourbon guy.
I just put my hand in somebody's plate of mac and cheese.
I thought it gave it a nice smoky flavor that I enjoyed.
You might want to amputate that hand.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Eric Scott's mac and cheese and the fireman's mac and cheese on the buffet at the club.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. I'm going to do it because...
I know.
I thought Eric's was... And I'll tell you something else. The one... I'm blanking on his name.
Steve? Eddie?
Bob?
Eddie Dunley,
Bob?
The...
Phil?
Allura?
Joseph? Jason? John Boy?
Bob Williams?
The one looks like Chris Kattan.
Patrick Lavery.
Hold on a second. That's the most insulting thing I've ever heard anybody say about anybody. Chris Kattan, that guy looks like a monkey that they shaved. You can't say that about Patrick Lavery.
Wow. By the way, Patrick does listen to the podcast. So
he just means it as a compliment.
Oh, okay.
I mean it totally as a compliment.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just trying to defend my friend Patrick.
That they shaved?
He's not a good looking man.
Okay, what I mean is his mannerisms. He's a funny guy. His mannerisms.
Okay, all right. I'll take that.
He doesn't look like
him. Just trying to defend him, Vinny.
All right. But anyway, I think he was upset.
That's what we said.
Yeah. He was upset.
Who?
Bob Williams was upset, picking up all his mac and cheese. Patrick Lavery was like, "Yeah, thanks, guys. I just slaved over this all night for you."
I was going to say to Bob, but I felt like this would get me in trouble on the air. That I would have enjoyed it more if he had put my face on the mac and cheese. I think I would have much preferred
a reference to the cake face.
The cake face incident that we shouldn't talk about. We shouldn't talk about it, but I'm just saying
it was an HR issue, so we're not going to talk about my face on the mac and cheese.
Can
we just talk about my performance the other night at the Stress Factor?
We can. I'm going to say it again. Because I've been trying to coach you into this direction. Mm-hmm. That was the most conversational.
Yeah.
And that is the modern state of comedy is conversation.
Conversational and personal. So Jessica and Jay will see it at our comedy show Saturday night. Because I'm bringing the same
Where thing. Are you Saturday?
Boundbrook. We got to do the Boundbrook.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I'm not with you Saturday.
That's right.
But we got to do it again. Because now I feel like I'm in a hosting groove now.
I think last night was a big breakthrough.
Yeah, I do too. I don't want to overstate, but when you weren't in here, Vinny said solid four. And he meant it. I could see it in his face. He meant it.
I got to tell you something.
Not out of five. I'm guessing.
He didn't say anything. He was very complimentary.
First of all, I used a scale of 100. And the thing is, now let me tell you something. So you were talking about being overprepared. Now, right. Jay, do you write your stuff?
I write out an idea and then I find the punchline when I say it. So it usually takes about a month or two before I go, okay, that's good. I'm done with that joke.
So for me, right, the first time on stage, I was at Rascals Comedy Club. And I love telling this story. I was at Rascals Comedy Club. First time on stage, I didn't prepare and I killed. And so I'm a young guy and I say to myself, oh man, I'm going to write all week long. And they're just going to start throwing money at me because if I could do that without preparing, imagine how good I'm going to be. Now, the unfortunate part is that my second time on stage did not go at all like my first. Right. What happened is that first week at the open mic, I had watched a lot of young open mic comics sweating profusely. All right. And so during the week, I said, I'm going to make fun of all these guys that sweat so bad.
Oh boy.
Jay, it gets worse. Give it time. So my genius thought was, I'm going to kill for 4 minutes. That'll be the easy part.
Right, sure.
And then I'm going to talk about how nervous people were. And I'm going to rig up an artificial sweat gland in my armpits.
Wait, so not only are you making fun of the other comics, you're doing it as a prop comic.
Jay, it gets worse. It gets worse. So then I decide, well, sweating's funny. Wetting your pants is hysterical.
Oh, dear God.
So I went and I got fish line tube. You know,
is there
you
a video
it,
of
right?
this somewhere?
Huh?
Is there video evidence
There's
of
no
this?
Video. This, oh, is, this is no video. Cool. If there was video, it would be millions and millions of hits.
Okay. You need an animator to recreate this.
Oh my God, that's a good idea. Yeah. There would be millions of hits for the wrong reason. So I've rigged up two bulbous balls of water to fish line
the word
tube.
Bulbous yeah. just sounds yeah. inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say these guys were sweating so bad, and I'm going to activate that, and my armpits are going to sweat super quick. And that's going to bring the house down.
This sounds funny. I mean, on paper, conceptually, this sounds funny to me.
Adam, it sounds bad on paper.
The only way this could have sounded worse is if you said, I'm going to throw a song parody in as well. See if I can hit the trifecta.
And then I'm going to say, I'm going to do one for wetting my pants as well. Right. And here's what happened. The first 3 minutes that I was supposed to be killing were so bad that I was sweating on stage. I did not need any apparatus, all right? But I'm not sweating in the armpits, and that's where the big ha ha is going to come.
That's going to crush.
So my first 3 minutes are just, I mean, it sounded like Easter Mass. It was that quiet. Oh, it was that quiet. Okay. And I go, oh, yeah, these comics, they get so nervous. And I activate the armpit sweat, and I can very clearly feel the water run right down the side of my body, unimpeded by my shirt. Okay. Oh. So, yes, I swear to God. So now I have the sides of my legs are just wet. So I'm like, no problem. I'm going for the pee. Okay. And I squeeze the second. I squeeze the second ball and I feel the water run right down my leg into my shoes. Oh my and God. Now I have squishy socks.
Oh, okay? Dear God.
Now.
At that point, you peed your pants in fear.
Jeff, I wish I did. Well, instead, I'm saying on stage, I'm going, oh, I'm sweating so bad. I think I may have wet my pants. But no one can see any evidence of me sweating or wetting my pants.
Right.
So it's even quieter. And then all of a sudden, the lights and sound went off at one time. And in my head, I thought, oh my God, thank the good Lord, there's been a power outage. And I look to the back of the room and I see Ward Magnuson from Rascals going, sure. Get the fuck off stage.
Wow.
Now,
that is awesome.
Now, my point is, from that day forward, I never wrote out a single comedy bit.
Right.
It was all done.
Just go.
Now, in the moment, in my head.
Now, let me give an impression of every comic that has ever been in an open mic after something like that happened. Vinny walked up to the manager and said, so I can feature here, right? I mean, I'm good to feature? Is that? I mean, I'm not a host, obviously, you know.
Jay, you know what ended up happening? I walked off stage. Paul Vanier was the MC.
Oh, Paul. I know Paul. Did he have his dildo with him or no?
I literally walked up and said, well, that's it. I'm done. Yeah. He goes, what do you mean? I go, I'm never doing comedy again. He goes, what are you talking about? I go, didn't you just watch what happened? Yeah. I go, and he goes, no. He goes, last week was unique.
Right.
Tonight, that's going to happen a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Get used to that and don't quit. And that's why I didn't quit.
See, this is how the muffin joke started. Yeah. Get up there and bomb. And when you can do that, you can do it.
Well, I told Bill, the professional, you know, getting laughs when the room is ready to laugh is easy. Staying, keeping your frame when the audience doesn't want to like you.
Yeah.
That's the professional part of it, where you take a room that's at a 3 and take them to a 7 is a hell of a lot harder than taking a 9 and keeping it at a 9.
Yeah.
So that's the professional part. And I think that the first compliment I gave Bill was that he does great when everybody hates him. So when it's dead silent, he keeps going. And I think that that's what has allowed him in a very quick amount of time to go from, you know, a beginner to very proficient. You know, so
Thank you, Jay.
Good stuff.
I'm capable of giving a compliment. I'm impressed. I think what we're going to do here is we now have 25 minutes. This is now its own episode. Can we avoid using the word bulbous in the title?
Not a chance. Jessica, as the person who names it,
you're thinking there are worse
things. I cannot help you there.
Bulbous is a word from probably, you know, late 18th century, right? That's like
it's gotta be.
If you had seen the pea pods. I'm going to call them pea pods. They probably look very bulbous.
Do you use pea pods?
Bulbous pea pods.
Bulbous pea pods.
Bulbous pea pods. That's the title.
Bulbous pea pods with Vinny Brand and Adam Geller. Episode 52 of Speaking Millennial.
Real quick, that last caller.
Yes.
We scared her.
Yes. She didn't take the tickets?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to find out.
Wait, what happened? You scared her how?
Oh, so funny.
We Vinny and I just got carried away. And Adam didn't help. The shirt, the whole thing.
No.
You know, and I don't know. You're like, hey, you sound like you're a little worried. Like this is going to be an orgy.
Yeah, she said,
I've never done this kind of thing.
I've never done this kind of thing before.
Right. You
made
me sound like
a
woman orgy.
And then I threw out safe word, and it just all.
It's very funny.
There. Pretty much the only show you could have a safe orgy at would be a Gallagher show because the plastic's already down. You know, so you don't have to worry about ruining the rugs or the hammer. Know,
just speaking of prop comics, the great Gallagher.
That's right. Speaking of bad shirts, the great Gallagher.
All
right.
I'll tell someday on this podcast, I'll tell you the Gallagher 2 and Gallagher stories. Okay. Because
just to be clear, Gallagher 2 is Gallagher's brother
that would travel
and do the lower end rooms.
Lower end to smash.
It's like if he can't afford Gallagher, there's always Gallagher 2. Too.
And they hated each other, right? Or they got contentious.
The story, they didn't hate each other initially. Okay. And Gallagher gave his brother the right to go do the Smash-O-Matic.
Right.
And the brother went out and did it. And Leo Gallagher, who was the original Gallagher, wrote Smash-O-Matic as a send-up of infomercials. It was really quite a thoughtful piece, even though it didn't appear to be one, right? So, but people loved the smashing food, right?
Right.
And so Ron went out and did it because Leo was doing theaters. And then later on in his career, the theater started to fade and he wanted to go back into clubs. So I'll see you tonight.
Bill's got to go. We're going to go another 3.5 hours, everybody. This is going
to
be.
I have to go too. I have a lot to do, but I'm getting my cardiologist today, which is funny. But so the story, I'm not going to do it now, but the story is so good. And it's also laced with a lot of gothic family infighting at the end,
I think that that's probably the first time in American history that the words Gothic and Gallagher were used in the same sentence. That was excellent.
I would only ask as we conclude if there are any Carrot Top stories, and I also think if you haven't done this before, the infamous Vinny Brand story.
Which one
have you done it on the air? The infamous story with you. Where you bit somebody's finger off?
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Can you do that? Can we go there?
What? We could do that someday. Someday.
We'll do that. By the way, a true story.
I got a quick Carrot Top story.
How did you hear that story? Did I tell you?
No. Do you really want... Okay, so I heard that story back in the day when I used to listen. I don't listen to him anymore. When I used to listen to Howard and Artie was on.
Yeah.
Artie told the story.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. No, I have a quick Carrot Top story. Carrot Top and I know each other from Vegas because he works at the Luxor, right? Is it Luxor or is the Excalibur?
He was at the Luxor,
Luxor, and I perform out at the MGM and in the Tropicana. So we just know each other via that. And I was performing in Reno, and he was doing the theater in Reno at the same time. So he was like, hey, do you want to hang out? And I was like, sure, Carrot Top, because I just like saying his name over and over again when we're talking. And he was like, yeah, well, just, hey, after the show, come meet me in my tour bus. So I go to his tour bus. Uh-oh. He's changing from his show. He's like in a towel and like his shirt's off. And he's like, Jay, come on in, have a seat. And I'm like, am I about to be seduced by Carrot Top? And I had to think in my head, I'm going to do this. I mean, if it goes, I got to do it. I mean, I mean, just for the story, I got to do it. He didn't try to seduce me. So that's the end of the story.
Yeah, but it's scary. He's really muscular and buff.
I just, you know what? How great would it be if at the end of that story, I was like, and I blew him. I mean, just think for a second. Just think. You guys would be like, wow, holy crap, Jay blew Carrot Top.
Legend.
You know, Jay, you'd be surprised what I would think if the story ended that way. And you'd be profoundly disappointed with what I would think.
You know who would be disappointed? Carrot Top. I am a terrible blowjob giver.
Wow.
Carrot Top never worked the club, but stopped in the club. And he's another guy that had a lot of
comedians disrespecting him.
Shouldn't have. Right. He was good comic, I thought.
Great comic.
And by the way, I think he also tried to buy that urination machine from you. He's like, I think I could use that thing, man.
I have to tell you, like, I look at comedy and I say, the comics that look down their nose at a different type of comedy. Yeah. And I was in a debate, I forget who it was with, and they were slamming Carrot Top. And I said, you know, A, the marketplace is spoken. Mm-hmm. Carrot Top is a success, a huge success. Yeah. I'd like to have his failures in my rearview mirror. Right. And secondly, if it's so easy, write a couple of those jokes.
It's the thing I always hate. Yeah, it's like, oh, anybody could do that. No, they couldn't, because everybody would if they could. It's like Howard Stern, where they were like, well, anybody could be dirty on the radio and get away. Then do it. And be successful. You won't be, because there's still talent involved, even if it's being used in a way that you don't like.
Have you ever seen the legendary Wid? You've seen Wid.
Oh, I love Wid. Yeah.
And Wid, I mean, he just, one of the jokes just makes me laugh so hard. Wid is similar in a sense, a lot of props. And he takes a toilet seat and he holds it up and he goes, you see this? You see this? I stole this from the New Brunswick Police Department, but they'll never catch me. They got nothing to go on. It's so stupid. And he's funny.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
And isn't it true that a lot of that is the delivery, right? I mean, you can mangle that if you just do it wrong. That's why I can never be on stage. I mean, I think my delivery is like kind of slow and dumb and plodding and all that stuff. So to me, something like that really is cadence. It's sequence and cadence and pace.
And he's one of the kings of doing that. You know, I remember, you know,
you're talking about Wid.
Watching Wid.
So funny.
I went to dinner with Wid, and he's doing that stuff with like the soda cans. You know, it never stops with him. He's a genius.
He holds
in that
up
respect.
A skunk. It's a stuffed skunk. And he goes, This makes no sense. Right. And then he reaches into the skunk and pulls out a smaller skunk, and he goes, "This makes even less sense." It's just so stupid. But here's my weird story. Because I got a million.
Did you?
No, I'm sorry.
You got tired. You got quiet all of a sudden.
I what?
You got quiet all of a sudden.
His microphone? Or
oh, my mic? You mean?
There you go. Okay, go ahead.
Because I did not get quiet. So did I turn it off?
Yeah.
All right. So Wid is a bit of a train wreck. He's working the club and he gets his stuff dropped off, and then the end of the show Saturday night, he's not packing up. He has a million props
in garbage bags. He carries them in garbage bags
and he's not packing up. And I go, hey, Wid, you get your stuff together, we gotta go. And he goes, I'm gonna get it on Monday. So I go, Wid, we're not here on Monday. Right. You get your stuff, you gotta go. So he goes, I'm living, by the way, the club is just open. I'm living in a boarding house. All right. And
what are you, in the 18th century that you're living at your...
I was divorced. I had no money. I was in a boarding house.
Gotcha.
And I'm already dating Vicky, which is beyond me. A whole nother story in itself. So with like, well, I'm going to come Monday for this stuff. I go, Wid, we're not here Monday. He goes, I can't get it today. I go, Wid, what is the problem? Because my van got repossessed. Okay, so he dropped the stuff off on Thursday, and Friday... they picked his van up. He's got no van. I say, Wid, how are you getting home? He's, I'm going to sleep at the club. I go, Wid, you can't sleep at the club. I have motion detectors. I have alarms. I won't move. I go, Wid, I swear to God. I say, Wid, you can't. Now, I go, you're going to come home with me. And you sleep in the living room of the boarding house. Now, my landlord, who's a great friend of mine at this point, does not want guests over. It's, you know, it's a thing.
Right.
So I go, you got to sleep, get up early and leave. The refrigerator is the landlord's. We all have a little tiny refrigerators in our room. In the landlord's refrigerator, I had stacked or put in like 12 beers. And he let me do that. I'm not a big beer drinker. It was there forever. We get into my house. He pulls out the pod couch. I go to sleep. I come out of my room in the morning. Wid is laying sprawled out on the pod couch 3 hours past the time I told him he had to be gone. He's in his tidy whitey underwear with nothing else on, okay? And there are 12 empty beer bottles in the bag with him. I'm like, God damn it, what did I do?
You know, Wid, always kissing up to the club owner. I mean, my God, trying to get in your good graces.
Oh, man, it's so funny.
He told me he used to live in the signs in Las Vegas.
He what?
He said he used to live in the signs in Las Vegas, that he said it was always warm during the day when he was homeless. I think Wid was without identification, right? That's where he gets the legendary Wid from, because he was always like, you know, being picked up for vagrancy.
Is that right?
Yeah. So Wid is without ID. So that's,
I never knew that.
That's, so he told me And you know, Wid is exactly the kind of person I'd spend lots of time with because I was like, "Oh, just keep talking. I love this guy."
Wid.
So he's,
I love him.
Fantastic.
He's still alive, right?
He's brilliant, yeah.
But
him and Kensel work together.
If it's without ID, shouldn't it be Wid?
Well, I mean, let's give Wid some credit that he didn't know how to spell that.
Do you know his real name?
I don't know.
Michael Baldwin.
Oh, I did not know that. No, but John Kensel's his like driver. Takes him over. Do you know John? John Kensel.
I don't know.
He has a driver now?
Well, I mean, not. He opens for Wid and drives
him
everywhere.
Is Wid still working?
He's still working, yeah. So
I'm going to book him for an off night at the club.
Can I open?
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Listen, he's fun to watch.
He's brilliant. He really is. He's a guy, like, if you were to say, who's a guy that you would never have heard of that you should go see? Mm-hmm. Vinnie Brand, one.
Thank you.
Two, legendary Wid.
Jay. Number 1A.
Yeah, Jay Black in the top 700 of that list. I just want to make the top 700. I think we should probably go, Jessica. We're like 5 hours in on this
one. All right. So, yeah, that's the problem when Bill's not here. We don't know how to end it.
Well, Bill just says goodbye.
All right. Well, Adam Geller, any last words?
Goodbye.
Vinnie Brand.
This is Vinnie Brand saying thank you so much for having me on your podcast, guys.
This is Jay Black saying later, bitches.
All right. Excellent.